Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I have been joined today by my friend Dan Schaefer, who is the founder of the Recombobulation Area. And to close out the show, I feel like we should talk about the Recombobulation Area. So how, you've been a veteran Milwaukee journalist your whole career?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I went to college at UW Oshkosh, but moved down here afterwards and I worked at BizTimes Milwaukee as a manufacturing and technology beat reporter and healthcare beat reporter. I worked at Milwaukee Magazine as an editor and writer there. I worked at the Milwaukee Business Journal as a reporter there as well. So for much of the past decade, I had been working as a writer and editor in Milwaukee media, moved out to Seattle for a short while, and worked at Seattle Magazine and Seattle Business Magazine out there, and then moved back in 2018. And when I moved back, I became a stay-at-home dad, which I still largely am. I have two girls. And while I was doing the stay-at-home dad thing, I started freelancing. But when I started freelancing, I realized that I wanted to do my own thing. And I felt like there was a gap in the Milwaukee media landscape where, you know, there was a lot of change happening at the time. And I felt like I could bring something different to what was happening in Milwaukee. And so I started the Recombobulation Area. Recombobulation has always been like my favorite word that's not a word, based on the famous post security area in the Milwaukee airport. I had actually written about it when I was at Milwaukee Magazine as like one of our reasons to love Milwaukee in one of those issues, you know. And so I got to learn more about like the background of the Recombobulation Area, and I was just like, if I ever start anything, I filed that away. I was like, that's going to be the name I use for it. So if nothing else, I know I got the name right.
There you go. So. Which is important. Naming things can be hard, but then sometimes that's how I felt with As Goes Wisconsin. And the fact that when I first came up with the name, it was still when I thought this was going to be a documentary, not a social media, you know, short TikToks and stuff like that,
or a radio show.
Yeah. But the fact that I could get As Goes Wisconsin on all the different social media platforms, and it didn't have to be different on Twitter versus Instagram and what was taken and what wasn't. And like, I was like, nailed it. So it doesn't always happen that way. So to name something and name something well and know that it's going to stay that, at least from branding purposes, is a great feat to have accomplished. And so what have you seen? So right now it's just you. In the last year, you've had more guest columnists be able to come on, right? I know Phil Rocco, like we said, Robin Palm has come on. You've had a couple different others join and put their two cents in. But what growth have you seen basically being a one-man band and yet still reaching thousands of people?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of growth, especially over the past, you know, since the Expanding the Divide series, that was kind of the big thing that really jumped up. But even before that, you know, writing about state and local politics in the way that I do, just trying to do it differently from what a lot of other people do, and you know, aggressively call things out, like at the state, like the Republican controlled state legislature, which gives me a lot of material. But I think also, you know, just within Milwaukee, like the Journal Sentinel's opinion section had changed. You know, there are a number of other publications that kind of shifted their focus to more of like a dining and lifestyle type of stuff. So there was just, and some that I just felt weren't necessarily doing a great job. So I just felt like there was a real opportunity to be writing about politics on the left in a city like Milwaukee that is a liberal city. And gives us so much material, or it gives us so much to think about and write about and cover all the time. And so definitely growing a lot. We're hoping to grow even more, you know, in the coming months, trying to bring more perspectives, more voices. There's going to be a lot to write about this year. Obviously, we spent the first chunk of the show talking about the primaries, this being a midterm election year and Wisconsin being, you know, in focus. There's going to be no shortage of things to write about. One of the things that I did 2 years ago was I previewed every single race on the ballot on the state legislature. I plan to do that again. So
What does that end up
looking
being?
Forward. So it was, there's 99 seats in the assembly, and I believe there are six.
And then there's a
and they're all up every 2 years. Up, and then I think there's 16 in the state Senate that are up every cycle as well. I could be wrong in the
because it's a third, right?
It's 16 or 17. No, yeah. The state Senate seats go every other year.
Every other cycle. Yeah. Okay.
Because they're 4 year terms. Yeah. So I think I wrote about all 115 races. I plan to do that again.
Well, to be fair,
the state legislature is so important.
There are 16 races that there's no Democrat running in the assembly. I think there's another 10 where no Republican is running in. And then I forgot how many state Senate seats there's no. There's basically what I'm saying is there's a fair amount of incumbents who are running unchallenged, which is not a good thing. But
it's not great.
Will you write about those even if there's no challenger?
I did last time.
All right.
I can't help my, I wrote about a lot of the, and I think there's interesting things to think about with why certain races are what they are, because we talk about, there's been so much talk over the years about gerrymandering. And I think gerrymandering is the main reason that we have so many uncontested races, because we have these politicians drawn into districts where they will face such a little chance of losing that sometimes people won't even run against them.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have people two congressional seats that no one is running in, and they're which is
it's not great, Kristen.
It's not great.
It's not great.
But we don't have a ton of time left. But I want to at least get your thoughts on the importance of independent journalism and something like Substack, which is what you produce Recombobulation on, and. Because what something that you just said as far as your ability to aggressively call out X, you said the Republican legislature, but, you can do that in a lot of different ways. And so is that something that you think independent journalists are more able to do simply because they don't have an editor or a publisher above them, so that there are, at least right now, a more closer to the truth? Or what role do they play in our media landscape? Quickly.
I think you just have a little bit more freedom. You just have a little bit more freedom to cover things differently. And I think in Wisconsin, there's so many chain newspapers and so many, it's such a familiar infrastructure that I think they're and it is getting smaller. So this just opens up more opportunities and avenues to cover the state differently.
Yeah. Well, I think we actually could go another hour if we wanted to, because I have so many follow-up questions and personal anecdotes on my thoughts on this.
Your guys' show next hour.
Next hour. Well, Dan, thank you so much. Where can people find you and all of your work?
Well, like you said, you can find the Recombobulation Area on Substack. There are options to become a paid subscriber and help fund our work, so I'd be an idiot not to at least plug that a little bit. $5 to get started. We'll throw out some deals over the course of the year. And